it seems to me that the sort of world we live in needs a certain amount of oil to make the wheels go round. In the 60s, sex provided that role. Now, in our landscape, sex is no longer a new frontier. You get the impression almost that sex has died out, or you know, doesn't take place anymore. Certainly, the landscape, the media landscape that we inhabit, this enormous novel we're living inside, thrives on sensation. It needs sensation to sustain itself. We're rather in the position of a sort of drowsing animal, drugged by some powerful narcotic agent, who needs electric shocks to keep it awake. And the electric shocks are provided by violence today, by violent imagery of one sort or another, whether it's plane crashes or train crashes, hijacks or just car crashes from our local city streets.
That's the voice of James Graham Ballard, or J.G. Ballard, as he's better known. Ballard died in April 2009 at the age of 78. Ballard is considered a science fiction writer, but he described his fiction as picturing the psychology of the future. The complete stories of J.G. Ballard were recently published here in the U.S. V. Vale has published 4 Ballard books through his independent publishing house, Research Publications. Vale talked to Steve Paulson about the prophetic powers of J.G. Ballard.
How did he predict the future besides the most infamous way? He was the first to predict that Ronald Reagan would become president of the United States way back. Mm. Of course, being in England, but also being an American TV watcher, he saw that, before I knew it at least, that becoming governor of California was often the next step to becoming president. That's something I didn't quite see until he pointed out. So besides predicting Reagan as president way before it happened, he also was the first to illuminate to me how basically we now live in a almost 100% media immersive universe. There's almost no separation between people we read about in the media and our own lives. I don't think there are very many people saying this when he started, really, in the late 60s, giving us thoughts like this. And I think that's the major sea change in our lives, is how we are so connected to, you might say, electronic and other media.
Now, one of the things that's clear as I was looking through your collection of Ballard quotations is that he was extremely interested in different versions of reality, I guess you could say. I mean, clearly the whole idea of reality was very important to him. And I'm wondering if he had a sort of a well-worked-out view of this.
Well, I think most writers and thinkers have continuously evolving views up until the time they die. I mean, the trouble with being in America is that we had absolutely no exposure to the subversive movement known as Surrealism. I certainly didn't have any education when I grew up on its tenets and history and achievements and all that. And fortunately, Ballard was exposed to Surrealist paintings as a teenager.
And he was very influenced by people like Salvador Dali and Max Ernst, right?
On a visual standpoint, but also Freud was a huge influence, just to give him the notion of everyone having an unconscious or subconscious and valuing dreams and the importance of dreams to your creativity. It's just an effortless source that you can plunder, I guess, if you're a writer or filmmaker or anything. And so he knew the value of surrealism, and he is a surrealist. Without being called that as a label, he certainly wouldn't join any movement. One of my favorite quotes that he said was, "Every time I walk down the street, I try to reinvent it in my mind." I mean, I think that's just a fantastic outlook on every time you leave your house. You know, just imagine, I don't know, all the buildings painted red would be super simple. But anyone could do this. You know, just reinvent in a surrealist way everywhere you go. He also was alert to the value of the chance encounter, to the role of desire. You know, your desires influence your perceptions and your knowledge. He was just full of ideas where you could live, I think, a far richer life and be truer to yourself. He always said, stay true to your obsessions. You know, if you don't do that, that way lies disaster. Hmm. And I completely go along with that, of course, as long as you can keep those obsessions. You know, you don't want to carry them to the extreme of harming others.
You have a great quote. He said, given that reality is now a fiction, it's not necessary for the writer to invent the fiction. Which kind of sums up what you're saying, I suppose.
I think he's absolutely right. I mean, it's kind of a cliche to say that reality is far stranger than any fiction, but frankly, it seems to be so. I mean, I try to insulate myself from news programs and newspapers and all that as much as possible, because I think, well, you know, in the same hour that I'm reading the Sunday New York Times, I could read a huge section of a J.G. Ballard book, and which will stay with me longer. I'll probably forget most of the New York Times, but the Ballard book will remain for years. Hmm. And yet the New York Times is one of the reflectors of reality that a lot of people hold up. Mm-hmm. But of course, the problem with all news media is that you never, ever get the full story, I think, ever.
Sure. So how did Ballard's thoughts about reality and virtual reality play out in his fiction?
Before they had virtual reality, i.e. a weird mask you put on and weird gloves you put on, and then you try to interact with something that's not there, you know, all these 3D visions. I assume that's what you mean by virtual reality. There's another definition of virtual reality, which is as soon as you are plugged into your laptop and on Facebook or whatever, you're in virtual reality. It's just kind of a different kind. In a story that came out a long time ago, I think in the 70s, called The 60-Minute Zoom, he talks about a relationship in which a man's married to his wife and they've never met, but they just sort of see each other and communicate sort of over Skype, except Skype wasn't invented then, in which, you know, you're watching a video of the person talking in real time and you're talking back and et cetera, and that's like the whole relationship. I think he was playing with a lot of these notions, but very imaginatively and seemingly tangibly, because the weird thing about if you read a book and you don't have your iPod on or a stereo going, you're just in the book. The book can seem really real, and the advantage of reading a book or reading a narrative, a short story, is that it's your imagination creating it, really. You're imagining the room, the faces of the people, etc. And so your imagination gets called into play, which, by the way, is something that Ballard kept reminding us that the imagination was not invented for nothing. You've got to use it. Your job isn't just to take data in, pictures in. You've got to use your imagination and create and transform. He was always reminding us of that. And so with virtual reality and with reality, I mean, he was giving us alternative scenarios of so-called reality to make us think. That's what a writer does.
Now, J.G. Ballard is usually described as a science fiction writer. Do you think that's the proper label for him?
Well, let's put it this way. He actually, pretty early on, was able to make a living, i.e. pay the rent and put food on the table by writing. And so you kind of have to harness your imagination towards the commercial medium where you can, like, write a short story for an American science fiction magazine and, you know, get paid a lot of money by contemporary standards, which is exactly what he did. And he started writing these science fiction stories, and then he started writing books, and he sort of got the science fiction part over with super early. He wrote 4 novels speculating on how the world might end. It might become super dry and arid. That's called the burning world or the drought. Or the earth might be completely covered with water. That's called the drowned world. Or the world might succumb to some horrible winds that go everywhere. That's called The Wind from Nowhere. That's his first novel, actually. And then the next one was The Crystal World, which everything in the world for some reason starts to crystallize and look like a Max Ernst painting or certain Max Ernst paintings. And then after that, his breakthrough was, oh, I'm going to write more or less about inner space, not outer space. I'm not writing about rockets going off and that kind of hardware and aliens and other planets. My frontier is going to be inner space, psychological space, all the interchanges to people and their fantasies and their behaviors and their aspirations. As we enter this far more media immersive environment, which is what we're in now.
V. Vale is the publisher of four J.G. Ballard books, including J.G. Ballard Quotes and J.G. Ballard Conversations.